First time I met this young couple, my very first thought was, it's impossible. What it is they wanted to do and the purpose for which they came to see me staggered me. For in the wheelchair was a young man who could see and could not walk. And beside him was a young lady who could walk but could not see. And I can recall it so vividly because what I saw on that particular moment was a moment in which love transcended all other things. They said to me, we intend to spend our lives together. And I said, how do you intend to make it? And they looked at me with piercing eyes, two that could see, two that could not. They looked up and said, because we love each other. When they shared that with me, my first thought was, how do you make this work? And they looked at me and said, you don't realize. Dennis said, Deborah, she can't see, but she can walk. And Deborah said, that's right. And he can see, but he can't walk. So I'll push his chair through life. And when I think about that story, over 30 years have passed. And for Dennis and Deborah, they found a love that liberated their hearts to such a degree that those two could become one. No one knew when they walked into First Southern Baptist Church of Dell City, Oklahoma, that that would be the story of that couple. But God did. And Jesus finds himself speaking to those that he discovers have a desire to follow him. And as a result, he begins to teach them. And what he wants them to do is become authentic disciples. Men and women who choose to follow him no matter what. Uniquely, he addresses subjects that are not as easy to grasp and tangle with. Today, he addresses what it means to love unconditionally and what it means to forgive and what it means to give. And he takes all these things and wraps them into a few short verses. And if you think about it for a second, I want you to ponder with me. As you open your Bible to Luke chapter 6, you find yourself in the 27th verse of Luke chapter 6. And as you're turning to that particular verse, you'll discover that if you're not careful, you'll miss the very clause that opens the door of learning for all those who are sitting in this experience with Jesus. And it's the same learning experience you and I have to be willing to look at ourselves. Look at you, if you would, verse 27, just for a moment. But I say to you, and watch what Jesus says, but I say to you who hear. Now, hearing, listening, being willing to receive what it is that comes at us is the key to all of life, because if I can hear something, I can do something with it. And I can take that knowledge and apply it to who I am. And what you discover here is when a person is willing to listen, watch this, they give attention to what is being said, they anticipate what message they're going to receive, and they take action on it. So today, here's what I want to challenge you to do as you sit in the Lord's house on this Sunday. I want you to pay close attention to what is shared. As you hear it, anticipate how God could use it in your life. And as you anticipate that, walk out of church with an action plan. Walk out of church saying, you know what? He's right. The pastor's right. I need to learn how to love in a more effective way. I need to learn how to forgive in a more cleansing way. I need to learn how to give my life away in a more defined way. And what you'll discover is by the time we finish today, Jesus takes and shapes into the hearts of those who are listening to him a deep desire that they would take and apply these very key principles into their journey of faith. Now, when you look at them, you immediately start thinking, wow, we need to make sure we don't miss what it is that God has for each one of us. Because he says to those who hear, here's what he was saying. There, you can be present and not hear something. You can be present and miss the message. You can be present and disengage in the process. And as a result, it becomes a disaster zone. Over the years of being a pastor at different times, I've encountered those whose in reply to their life situation was, he would not listen, she would not listen, they would not listen. As a result, I cannot do this anymore. And if you think about it for a moment, can you imagine what it would be like if the Lord looked at you and me and said, they did not listen, they haven't been listening, they're not listening now, I can't do this anymore. We wouldn't want that with the Lord, would we? Because we want him to work in our lives no matter what, everywhere we go, what we're about in life. So think about these. I want to ask you three questions that set the tone for whether you're listening or not. And I want you to think about these, and I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to say them. You don't have to say them or convey them to anyone else, but I want you to at least think through them yourself. because this may set the tone for your ability to be able to go, you know what, I know how to be more effective now, and I can listen more attentively. The first question is this: when you think about where you are in your journey of faith, do you love unconditionally? In other words, do you extend love to people, not based in a criteria, but just in the fact that God has loved you, so you love others? And when you start looking at that, you realize that what Jesus was saying was, the kind of love you got to have is the kind of love that will let somebody slap your face at one point. I mean, it's amazing what Jesus does here. And so you and I, as we look at this passage, you have to ask yourself, do you love unconditionally? But the second question I want you to think about is this: do you find it hard to forgive? Is it difficult at times to go, you know what, I'm willing, but it sure is hard. Now watch this. What is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is a prison with no door. And so what happens is when someone gets caught up in not being willing to forgive, all of a sudden they get imprisoned to that. And what does it do? It can cause them to function with such great heartache. I had an aunt that way. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to my mom. I was just talking about that particular aunt. And at a very young age, something happened that she chose she would never forgive. And she lived an embittered life for 60 years because she just made that choice. And what you discover is, it is hard at times to forgive because there are moments when we go through difficulty, moments we go through heartache, and it's not easy to extend forgiveness. But you'll see what Jesus does here as it relates to that. And then one final question, and it's interesting because Jesus puts this all together. He talks about love, he talks about forgiveness, then he talks about giving. And I want you to think about regarding where you are. Do you struggle with giving? And by the way, I'm not talking about just your material resource, okay? I'm talking about your whole life. Because life is a stewardship of everything, not just a single aspect of life. Because I've known people, for example, who thought in their mind, if they wrote a check to the church, they'd done all the giving they need to do. That if they just gave their tithes and offerings, everything was perfect. And the reality is that is not the case. Because we are accounted as stewards for every aspect of our life. And so, if you'll think about it for a second, today we find ourselves in this passage where Jesus, he goes deep with concepts. So I want to look at two or three verses, then a verse in John just for a moment. Then I'm going to come back. I'm going to show you, if you're listening, remember now, what happens when we listen? We pay attention, we anticipate, we take action. All right, so you got to think, keep those three things in mind as we look at it. Look at with me, if you would, several of these verses. Verse 27 again. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Look on, if you would, to verse 37 of this same text. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Look on in verse 38, very last part of this verse. Notice what he says here, because you know the first part, you've heard it many times. The last part, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Now, what does Jesus say here? What he says is, if you come up and you measure love and forgiveness and you measure the stewardship of your life with a really small cup, that's what you're going to get. But if you measure with something that is absolutely significant, in other words, how can I give my life away? How can I make a difference? How can I extend myself? What happened? All of a sudden, your cup gets bigger. And it has more to be able to offer in life. And so what happens is Jesus makes it clear. If you measure life by saying, well, I forgave them, I love them, I don't like them, I'm not going to hang around with them, but I did exactly what the Bible said. What are you doing there? You're using a little bitty cup that says, oh, I did it. And the truth of the matter is that you misunderstand even what forgiveness is about. Because watch what forgiveness is not about forgetting. Because when you hear that phrase, forgive and forget, you totally set aside how the mind works. What forgiveness is coming to the recognition that His grace is sufficient to carry you beyond pain caused by someone else. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you get there, here's what you discover. You discover that there is something amazing about this God that we serve. That His grace would extend beyond the pain caused by someone typically close to us. And so here we find ourselves in this text. And today as we look at this, I want you to think about what Jesus does. Because Jesus teaches, five times he uses the word love. In this text, he opens the door to what it means to not just love, but to forgive, but not just forgive, but to apply, and not just to apply, but also to come to a place where you go, guess what? I want to make sure I give my life away. And my prayer is, if you're listening, and you can't miss this application side of this. Here's the application to everything. To those who hear, something happens. In other words, you get it. It comes across and you go, wait a minute now. I got to pay attention. It's like what happens when you are in a dialogue with someone where it's absolutely essential that you hear what they're saying. And do you realize that most people are not good listeners because they spend all their time trying to think about their next response? And what Jesus does is he sets in motion us learning how to listen the right way so that we come away from life going, you know what? I can apply this. So if you're in church today and you're sitting here and you're going, okay, wait a minute now. So what the pastor has said, first of all, I've got to be able to listen. I've got to be able to take in what he's saying, what the Lord's saying. And as I listen, I'm able to take and apply it in a way that makes sense. So the application is I come to a place where I pay attention, I anticipate him speaking to my heart, and as I do, I come away with an action plan that comes from God. And that's exactly what Jesus does in verse 27 through verse 38. Now he does it, he breaks it down into pieces. He breaks it into four significant pieces. The first one has to do with the whole idea of loving. And today we look at, as we're talking about being an authentic disciple, someone who is on fire for the one who claims their life, that authentic person. We're looking at what happens when love starts to liberate a person's heart. Because watch this, when you're authentic as a disciple, someone who's willing to follow him, the love that comes out of you will be transformational and will impact anybody that you encounter. So look at with me if you would, and we'll see this in four pieces. We'll bring it together, and my prayer is as you're sitting in church today that you've already heard one thing. I have to learn to listen better. Because God may be saying something to me through this passage that perhaps I missed at other times. And if that's the case, then be careful to grab hold of it. The first thing you see is the kind of response that Jesus intended all those who were going to follow him to do. And that was to learn how to love unconditionally. To learn how to love unconditionally. Look, if you would, verses 27 and 28. And we're going to walk through this passage. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Now, if you can imagine for a moment, you got to realize that those who had been hanging out with Jesus thought he was coming to straighten everything out. They thought he was coming to so transform the world that anybody who came up against him, boom, they're out of there. And what does Jesus do here? He gives four very distinctive conditions to learning how to love unconditionally. In other words, you apply these aspects to who you are, and all of a sudden you've begun the journey of faith that allows you to love unconditionally. Look at them with me, if you would. Let's look at them very carefully. First of all, he says, love your enemies. Now, if I were to say to you, name your enemies, it wouldn't be hard, would it? Which, by the way, sometimes our enemy are our thoughts. Sometimes our enemies aren't other people around us. They're our situation and our circumstances, where we find ourselves at. But here he says, love your enemies. And what was he trying to say? Let compassion become a part of who you are. Because what happens when you start loving somebody who is your enemy, something begins to happen inside of you. You become compassionate. And that love is so transformational. You wouldn't know this, but there are certain parts of the Middle East that I'm not going to name the countries. I'm not going to name any dynamics going on, but here's what's happening. There are more people coming to Jesus than any other country in the world. And it's strictly forbidden to do so. But because of the compassion of those who've loved genuinely, people are surrendering over and over and over again, giving their hearts to him. And see, what you discover is this. We only look at what we see in the media. Jesus looks at the heart and sees what can happen. So he says here, love your enemy. But then he goes on, notice what he says, and do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. What was he saying here? Bless people that would never anticipate or expect any blessing from you. Give your blessing and cause a person to go, wow, that stands out to me. I have a habit of some things that I do that are unique probably to some people, but probably very common to others. I have this habit where sometimes when I'm at a gas station in line to get a cup of tea or whatever, I'll find myself, and I'll see somebody in front of me, and I'll walk up and say, I want to buy theirs and mine. Now, the first thing I do is make sure they're not buying cigarettes or a six-pack. You know, I'm careful about what it is I'm buying, if you're wondering about that. But the other day, I was at racetrack right here on Peachy Industrial, and there was this elderly gentleman in there right in front of me, and he had a hot dog, and he had a bag of chips and a Coke, and so when I got up there, I said, I want to buy his. And he looked at me really funny, and he said, sir, what did you say? I said, I want to buy yours. And his reaction, I wish I could have had it on a camera. Because you know what his reaction was? Nobody blesses anymore in our world. No one does good to those. Now, obviously, he wasn't hurting me in any way. But what I'm trying to show you is this. When Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. If you're supposed to do good to those who hate you, how much more should you do good to those you don't even know? Ed and I were walking out of the church just a couple days ago. And this guy drives up in the parking lot as we're walking out. And he started telling his whole story. And he wanted to give this big, elongated story to his need. Well, but within about 30 seconds, we gave him the money for the gasoline he needed, and he was on his way. And I thought as he drove off, he had to be sitting there going, that's the only church in Atlanta you do that. You just pull up in the parking lot and find a pastor walking out and get gas money. You know, that probably doesn't happen at every church. But the reality is sometimes, and by the way, I'm not telling you, by the way, to be flippant in how you give. I'm using the word bless here. Because here's what happened. For that gentleman, I promise you, as he pumped every ounce of gasoline into his car, because the light was glaring on his dash, he had to be going, there are some people who choose to bless. But Jesus was saying, if your enemy, love your enemy, do good to those who hurt you. But look at it, he gets deeper, doesn't he? Look on. So first of all, he says, be compassionate. Bless those. Look at verse 28. Bless those who curse you. That gets a little bit more challenging, doesn't it? Because here's what he's saying. Show kindness to those who even speak ugly to you. Show kindness. And you know, when you're kind, something happens inside of you. Everyone in here probably has had somebody in their life who was kind. I mean, they extended kindness. They were kind by nature. And it did something for you. What Jesus does here is he makes it very clear that if someone could even curse you, turn around and bless them. Do something for them. Make a difference. And imagine for a moment, what is he trying to set in motion here? When you're compassionate, when you're blessed, when you're kind, people see Jesus. And what he wanted them to do is learn how the people would see Jesus in him and them. And then they would say, okay, you know, we're a reflection of Jesus. But then he gives us one final caveat. Look at it, if you would. One other aspect here. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now, when he's talking about praying here for those who choose to curse you, who hate you, all these things, what he's saying is learn to pray that God would save them, that they would come to a point of salvation. Because Jesus didn't come for everybody just to do nice things and to create the right environment. Jesus came to save the world. So Jesus is not telling his disciples, now look, if you just rock along here and if you're nice and you're kind and you're compassionate and you bless people, but you don't tell them who I am, you miss the message. And exact same thing he's saying to you and me. Because if we are at the place where all of a sudden we start living out this idea of how do we pray for those who mistreat us? How do we turn the other cheek and transform their life? What Jesus was saying was when you love unconditionally, your response ultimately can lead someone to say, what you have, I want. And watch this carefully. If people are not asking what we have, we have to look and ask ourselves the question, are we listening carefully enough to him that as he speaks to our hearts and he says to us, be kind, be compassionate, bless others, be willing to extend yourself and share who I am? What you see very quickly is this. If you're not loving unconditionally, you're out of position to be able to accomplish his purpose. And what Jesus was trying to say was, if you can't love the way I intended, what's going to happen? You're going to have a problem with all the things that come at you in life. Because what does he do here? He takes the most difficult aspects of life and shows if you can start here, then all the other aspects are going to be much smoother. All right, so he says love, and love unconditionally. And the key word here is that we unconditionally love those who God puts in our path. But then he doesn't stop there. Look, if you would, verse 29, because then he moves into what it means to react the right way, to forgive graciously, to be willing to say, I am going to forgive what has come at me. Look at it with me, if you would. Verse 29, notice what Jesus said. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Now, I want you to stop and think about it for a moment. What does he say here? If someone comes up and strikes you, instead of raising your hand up to hit them, he says, instead, turn the other way. What was he trying to do here? He was trying to help them understand something. That in life, the greatest strike you can ever do is strike somebody with the grace of God. And what Jesus was trying to say was, look, when somebody comes at you aggressively, and they aggressively try to connect into where you're at in life, bring to them a grace that shows them that there is a real God. That's what Jesus was trying to do. That's why he said, hey, if they do that, just say, you know what, hit the other one, and then let me tell you about what really matters in life. Let me tell you what really matters. And it's interesting, oftentimes you find yourself in encounters with people who have presuppositions about everything in life, and it's intriguing because oftentimes here's what happens to the person. They come to an erroneous conclusion, and it becomes a way of life for them. I mean, this week I was talking to somebody in another part of our country, and they were sharing with me that they were trying to help someone move forward, and ultimately the person said, I have issues with God. And as they said that, I thought, well, you know what? You better resolve your issues because you know who the winner is, and you also know how he works. Like we looked at last week. We look at this concept a lot last week. But here all of a sudden, think about it. Here you're seeing him say, learn how to forgive. Strike them with grace. Look on though. Notice with me, verse 29 as well. Not only are you turning your cheek, but whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. What does he say here? Share what is valuable with you, with others. Share what is valuable to you with others. Be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to give it away. Now, here's what you got to note, all right, because you'd miss this because we live in a prosperous land. In this time, when Jesus is speaking, guess how many coats people had? One. They didn't have seven to pick which color. They had one. They didn't go in their closet and go, oh, I think I'll wear purple today. They had one because they had a primary purpose, and that was to protect, but also to cover them when they slept. Now watch this. What Jesus says here is, that coat probably is really valuable to you, but give it to someone else if they ask for it. But then he says, take your shirt off also. In other words, strip back to the bare essentials of being willing to forgive and extend yourself to a person so they see Jesus in you. Wouldn't it be amazing? Now, the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't ask any guy in here to take your shirt off. You know, I wouldn't ask someone to give their coat. But what Jesus is saying here is, what matters to you, give it away. And be willing to if somebody has a need that's there. Look on, though. He says, not only do we extend grace and share what's valuable to us, but then you'll notice verse 30. Notice what Jesus does. Give to everyone who asks of you. Give to everyone who asks of you. And it's interesting what Jesus does here. Now remember, we're listening, aren't we? We're trying to learn how to listen. Here he's saying, meet needs with no expectation to come back at you. Meet those needs where there's no expectation that, hey, if I meet this need, then this will come to me. Instead, he said, no. You meet this need, and you let this be the story of your life, that you met someone's need. And you may not need to know their name, but they will always know your heart, because you extended yourself to become a reflection of what it is God intended to do inside of you. So when Jesus started dealing with this whole idea of forgiving graciously, or the way we react to things, what he's saying is, how do you learn how to forgive? Give without any expectation in return. And what happened? You're able to go, you know what? I helped that person. Which, by the way, through the years of being a pastor, there oftentimes you'll find people who have a need, you try to meet it, but you don't always encounter a gracious spirit in the midst of trying to meet it. And what you discover is you just have to extend wisdom at that point. And what Jesus was doing here is saying, you know what? Learn how to live where you don't hang on to anything too tight, or you don't extend yourself to what you possess, because he really owns it all. He is in control of all. So Jesus says, be careful to share grace. Be careful to see what's valuable to you. Be careful to give without any expectation. And then one other thing he does here. Look at the latter part, if you would, of verse 30. And notice what he said. And whoever takes away from what is yours, do not demand it back. When you see this, you realize what he's really saying is that when someone takes something from you, you don't ever feel good about it. But what he says is that there is a love that comes from God. And you need to realize something, that the love that comes from God supersedes the pain of someone taking what you used to possess. And what he was trying to say was, it is painful. It is painful when someone takes away something that was yours. But if you're willing to go, you know what? I don't want to live that way. I want to be a person who forgives when someone chooses even to take what is mine. And as a result, what is Jesus trying to do here? He's trying to set in motion their thoughts that would allow them to go, you know what? I get what this is all about. What this is really all about is me learning how to love the right way, to forgive the right way, to extend hope the right way, to understand how life works the right way. And what he was trying to get across to you and me was, if you do it this way, what happened? You get liberated. And what Jesus was saying was, if you have a possession that holds on to you, then it possesses the very direction of your life. If you have a purpose that's disconnected from his plan for your life, then you miss the best of life. If you're not willing to love, then something happens inside of who you are. What he's trying to say is, open your eyes and listen. And what he was saying was, if your whole life is caught up in what you possess, you miss the best. But if your life is caught up in who possesses you, you receive the best. And what Jesus was saying was, if I'm in you, I'm all you need. Which, by the way, Jesus was not saying lay down. He was saying step up. There's a big difference there. He was not saying, hey, you just hang around till the next person slaps you in the face. No. Jesus was saying, in life, you're going to have these encounters. And be prepared for them and respond the right way. There's a third thing he does. First of all, he says love unconditionally. Secondly, he says be willing to forgive graciously. The third thing he says, learn how to apply wisely what it is I've said to you. In verse 31 through 36, he gives this whole idea of application. Look at it with me, if you would. Follow along. Remember what we said. If you're listening, you're going to pay attention. And as you pay attention, you're going to anticipate what God has for you. And as you hear God speak, you're going to take action on it. Look at it with me, if you would. Verse 31. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those for whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But then what does he do? He comes back to the very focus of what he's trying to say. Look at verse 35. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return, your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now you can imagine all of a sudden Jesus saying, get on this train. Get on with me and watch what happens, because this train is going straight to glory. And the way you get there is you learn how to apply what it is I've said to you. And he says there are three things you have to do. First of all, you have to make selfless sacrifice. You have to be willing to go, you know what? I am going to move beyond myself to sacrifice to make a difference. I'm going to selflessly extend who I am, what I'm about. But he doesn't just say that. He doesn't just say you selfless sacrifice, because in verse 31, what does he do there? He said, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. The old golden rule, huh? In other words, be willing to do what obviously opens the door for you to be treated in a gracious way. But what he says here is, be selfless at the point of sacrifice. In other words, treat people in a way that is amazing and transformational. But he doesn't stop there. The second thing, he starts talking about love. And it's interesting, because if you'll notice what he does here, he grabs this whole idea, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? In other words, if you just love the little ones who look at you and smile, or you just love those who you don't really know, that you don't know what the issues are there, that's nothing. But he said, if you've got to be willing to love those who are the most unlovable, the most that create most difficulty and challenges for you. And what he's really saying here is this. When the supernatural love of God takes hold of who you are, you begin to live not based in your agenda, but his. And as you live in his agenda, that love begins to transform who you are. So watch this. He says, sacrifice. Be willing to do what you need to do. Be willing to love. And then finally, he says, not only that, be willing to anticipate the true rewards that come from God. Look at it with me again, if you would. Look what he says here. Verse 35, love your enemy, do good, lend them, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Now think about that for a second. What does Jesus say here? Jesus says, there are those that are most challenging to connect to, but it opens a door to the most rewarding life. If you're just willing to anticipate true rewards, not something that's centered in just the issues of your life, but centered in somebody else's life. How can I bless this person? How can I help this person? How can I connect to this person? How can I extend hope to this person? How can I show them grace? How can I show them joy? How can I show them love? How can I show them the person that has been transformed by the amazing God who calls us by our name? You see, what happens is Jesus made it clear. He made it very clear. You're going to be able to accomplish as an authentic disciple what I intend. You have to be able to have a liberating love that works inside of you. And that liberating love, watch this, that liberating love begins with unconditional connection to people. It carries forward with a graceful forgiveness of those who've hurt us. It extends beyond that to applying with wisdom what God has given to us. And finally, it's interesting because when you look at this, it's like it doesn't connect, but it really does. Look, if you would, at the last two verses that we'll look at today, verse 37 and 38. Notice what Jesus says here. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, or forgive, and you will be pardoned. And watch what he does here. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Here's what I want you to see. What Jesus says here is, give extravagantly, and your reward will be so profound you won't be able to handle it. What he says here is, you are not the judge. You are not the condemner. You are the one who extends forgiveness, and you give yourself away. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you give yourself away, something amazing begins to happen inside of who you are. So the question today is simply this. When it comes to being liberated, when it comes to being able to extend your life. Because when you look at this passage, you realize that what Jesus was really doing was, he was trying to create an environment where someone would be set free. That they'd be set free from their possessions, set free to experience his purpose, set free from their pain so that they could experience forgiveness, set free from their problems so that they could experience his presence. All these things connected into one simple dynamic question. Are you willing to be liberated? In other words, are you willing to be set free? Because really what he's really saying here is that when you come to the place where you are set free, something begins to happen inside of you. And when we look at this passage, I would ask you this way. Will you be liberated today in order to experience tomorrow what God intends? Because when you are liberated by him, watch this, when you're set free, something begins to happen inside of who you are. And that's why we come into his house to encounter a God whose love is so profound that it changes everything about who we are. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. It speaks to who we are, guides our lives. Lord, thank you for the promises of what Jesus gives us here, that we can turn our other cheek, we can love those who hate us, we can live through life with such an amazing grace because we've encountered the one who wrote grace upon our name. Lord, today as we think about that, I think about those who are here who just need to be liberated to encounter you, to experience you. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness that allows your word to speak to who we are and guide us in life. And Lord, I pray for every person here. there's someone here who's not been set free, who's not encountered your love, I pray, Lord, they would encounter it today. I pray also, Lord, you would allow us to realize that what your grace does extends beyond our concepts completely, because you said, don't judge. In other words, don't make your own assessment. You made it clear. If we judged, we'd be judged. And so today, we ask you to allow your word to speak to the hearts of those who are here. And Lord, if there's someone here who wants to be set free, I pray you'd move in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.